I really am becoming a douchebag. Damn, I just already fucked myself in the algorithm. But, not gonna lie, we got Israel, Iran, Palestine, Gaza, well, the Gaza is part of all these countries are just shooting at each other, droning, and blowing up each other. So, that's what dominates the news. And I'm going to be honest. I was watching the news earlier. By the way, recording this on a Friday, April 19th, 2024. So, obviously, there's these protests in these middle of Manhattan, I believe, at this park in front of these court buildings, whatever the fuck. Bunch of people got their tents out. This guy lit himself on fire because of the Trump trials for a hush money trial. This dude's just getting sued for everything. He's getting it's like $175 million bond, which I mean, apparently you only have to pay 10% of the bond and then you pay the rest over time. It's like, I don't know how they come to a conclusion of $175 million bond. I don't feel like $175 million bond is really makes sense for anything, to be frank with you. At that point, if it's that much evidence, there should be no bond. I mean, there should be a max limit on a bond, unless it's a bond with your baby girl. There's no limit on that one. Or your baby. Baby. Which, by the way, is Shanti and Nelly. Congrats. Huh, baby. But, I'm not going to lie. I'm watching the news. I'm watching all these young whippersnappers out there in their tents cheering on people that are getting politely arrested. They didn't even, you're not a real threat. You're not really making a change if they put one of those plastic zip tie things to put behind your back as the replaced cuffs. Like, these people don't even deserve real handcuffs, And all I can think about, I see like hundreds and hundreds of people out there on the news. They're like, have these sky cans. And I'm just like, this is where I'm starting to become an old head. I'm like, I'm pretty sure if they were to go out there and do a census or a poll, I would say like 85% of them are unemployed. And what it brought out to me is one, I know it's a pattern of behavior. I know it's a pattern of the type of people that use activism or pretend they give a shit about things. And look, I'm all about people giving a shit about things. But what I don't give a shit about is people that use issues to create a profit for themselves. And people are using this to make themselves famous. Like, I'm on TV, oh my God, I got out of jail for doing something so courageous. It's like you politely volunteered to just walk to jail just so you could be on TV and you're kind of a spokesperson for an issue that you have nothing to do with, but somehow all of a sudden you have something to do with it. I don't know. I know that's generalizing a bit. But I'm just like, if you had a job, if you actually had stuff to do and real things to worry about, you'd not be occupying your time in the middle of a Friday just sitting out there with people. That's not what I want to do, when I have free time, is to spend time with random people that voluntarily are unhappy about things when it has nothing to do with them. Because to be honest, looking at a majority of the people is typically college students, typically young people. They're like, oh, why don't I get $2,000 a week working 28 hours a week? It's like, all right. It's just, all I could think about was like, man, the unemployment is out of this world. And, not to be a dick about it, but, in these instances, certain issues, yes. But if you don't see people with real jobs out there protesting an issue, maybe that issue is not really, we don't really care about that issue in this country, or it doesn't affect us. Because it's all this stuff happening everywhere else. And yes, we are funding a lot of weird shit. But you sitting out there in tents, sitting, to be honest, all the people just sitting on their asses in a lawn. What are you fucking doing? All you're doing is trespassing. You're not making the change. You're just changing people's path that they have to. You know what? You're blocking people that are actually going to work because you don't want to work. So you take issues and things to rationalize why you don't work. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, apparently there's this place called Stretch Zone. I came across it recently. And it is literally a place that you pay to go inside and stretch. And they had a nice little promotion outside. Hey, your first stretch is free. It's like, well, you know, I could stretch a few things for free. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. I saw the sign. I saw the place. And my, like, wow, people will really pay for anything. You're really going to go inside, maybe get a yoga mat on a hardwood floor, and just start stretching. Oh, but no, it's not just static stretches. It's dynamic stretches. It's pliability stretches. It's like, you need all the stuff you can literally just do at your fucking house and, you know, I could save you $40 a visit, you know. And it's always 30-minute, 45-minute visits. But, you know what? I was like, Clint, don't be ignorant. There's got to be something more to it. So I went home. I looked up the place. And you know what it really is? They put you on a, like, ever saw X-Men, Wolverine? You know the bed that they put Wolverine on, you know, when they turn him into a fucking Wolverine? Science experiment gone bad, or actually technically it was a success, but it worked back against them. They put you in this straitjacket type of bed, like they're about to put you, you know, put you down. Well, you get turned into you could easily become a last meal for someone. And they tie you down to this bed and they stretch you. They have a guy there or a lady. And they stretch your limbs, which, hey, I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty stiff. I could probably, you know, I'm criticizing this shit, and I could probably use a good stretch, you know? But I would rather walk around limping my ass off. I'd rather walk around in excruciating pain than to pay $98 for some random-ass dude or lady to be giving my hip abductors a really good deep stretch. I'd rather walk, and maybe, you know what, this is where the, I'd rather die alone in this world, I'd rather die in pain than to be seen or pay hard-earned money that probably caused the injury to have some other asswipe stretch me out, you know? Father, don't stretch my hands. Don't stretch these legs. It's just crazy to me. The things we will pay for in this world. It's crazy to me, and I'm all for capitalism, but goddamn, you know, this got to be a barrier when people are buying these leases. Like, if I owned a property, and someone's like, hey, and they buy, like, you know what, I see, you know, you have great credit, you got a great stream of income, and so what's this business you're going to, we're going to open a stretch. It's like, a what? Oh, you're going to open a gym. Nah, it's just going to be a place where we stretch people. Oh, so it's a yoga, Pilates type of Zumba class thing you got going here. It's one of those bullshit Orange Theory fitness where it's like 30-minute classes and stuff. Nah, it is just for people to stretch. Now I'll be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to just rip up this contract and tell you to go fuck yourself. You know what? Not everything should be a business. Stretching is one of those things. We have places designed for that. It's called these gym memberships that people pay for. The fact that people would pay $50-$60 in a visit for you to put my toes above my head. It's like, you know, there's cheaper things I could have that done in, you know? I mean, at least in those instances, there's at least a kinky surprise after. These cases, it is just some person in uniform. That is weird. It's weird to have someone in uniform stretching your calves, you know, stretching your, you know, your torso. I don't even know what the fuck a torso is, to be honest, but it seems like something that's in the abdomen area. And sometimes when people are getting very touchy, they're very adamant about touching things. And, you know, what crosses the barrier of what's okay to stretch? Like, do you have a stretching package? Well, I have a package you can stretch. that would be weird if someone's really stretching you out and something else starts. As J. Cole would say, these Nintendos turn to Extendos. I think that's the term. Which, by the way, Drake officially dropped the diss track towards Kendrick. How are you big stepping with size 7 men's on? And then he had the audacity to use a foot, you know, like a shoe label of the size on the shoe. Size in the US, 6 in the UK. Like, well, you know, why does the US and UK, why do we got to have these different measurements? Like, is that 6 compared to 7, whatever measurement you're using? We can't just adopt the same fucking measurement. Like, you know, the other ones, like, China's different, and there's others that centimeters, but it's like if it's one or half a number off of whatever this measurement is, can we just like use it? Can we stop trying to be different for the sake of being different? I don't know, but yeah, it's getting messy out here, you know. But yeah, welcome to episode 275 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson, and I am burning up, but not for you, baby. Recording this at 9:43 p.m. Eastern on April 19th, 2024 for the archives. Yeah. Whew, I am big sweat. Not key sweat, even though I am twisted right now. Like a cinnamon pretzel without the dry mouth. yeah. So much problems out here. You know, we got rap beefs. We got drones being blown up. Pretending we care about that stuff. We should care about it. Not saying don't be empathetic. I'll tell you what, I've been really into watching people get arrested. I don't know what it is, man. I like people getting busted for 2 kilograms of cocaine. I like people being drunken in public and causing disorderly conduct. I like watching predators get caught texting 13-year-olds. I don't know, there's something appealing about it. I am fascinated with how one small little variation of a way a person thinks can cause them to go down these crazy paths. It's crazy watching people as try to flee with the DUI. Like, going through, seeing someone's rationale going through these processes. And you know, I would like to meet someone who I would actually want to interview, as weird as this may sound. I would actually one day want to sit down and talk to a child predator, right? Because I would actually like to ask them. I would like to really get in the mind. Well, not really get in the mind, you know. But you got to be careful because you are what you surround yourself with. Can someone who's not into children, could they, just by the vicinity of them talking with these people, even if you don't condone what they do, but you look at them as a person, could you start gravitating like when they do, you know? If someone doesn't really drink alcohol, but then they get around the people that drink alcohol and they start adapting to that environment, it becomes gradual. Is that the same with kids? I don't know, you know? I think everyone likes to pretend they're better than the next person. But, you know, you get in certain environments, I don't know what happens, you know? I'm not saying that for the kids, but, you know, don't kid and play with me. But But if you are a single man with the Kidz Bop CD, I'm assuming you're not inviting girls of your age vicinity over. I would love to see it rational. Like, you know, why did you invite this 14-year-old? Why did you invite this 14-year-old over to your house? Did you see our astrology lines? It was meant to be. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's just a weird implication to really wanting to understand people who have gone down this weird path in life, you know. Oh, by the way, this is a weird segue to say while I'm talking about children. But don't forget to suck some titties. But yeah. check the ID. Don't be like Cole and say, I'll blow your phone up like your caller ID. Or something, I'll make your phone blow up like your caller ID. So don't really get that line. But he backed out and took down a song from streaming. But yeah, I don't know. You know what? I think there's one question I like to ask. Like, do people that are attracted to children, this is getting, and I expect to go down this road, people that are attracted to younger people, is it because you truly feel, you still feel that age? Or is it because you actually feel like that's, in terms of the space of mind of person that will receive you best for who you are as a person, in a weird way, right? So here's the way I'll put it. There are like, we'll just say like a 45-year-old guy, right? A guy who is not getting the best of luck. He's not getting the attention. He's not getting the validation. All woman thinks he's despicable, spits to the earth. He's got nothing going for him. No potential. He can't even sell the whole, like, you know, one day. Because his one day was a long, long time ago. And the only, no woman with reasonable acclimation or accommodations or respect for herself, whatever, look past his, you know, moldy teeth. And he could sell a dream to a naive 15-year-old girl who is dealing with typically flaky guys, immature guys, and he could sell a maturity aspect to her. You know, always, oh, I could provide something for you that they can't. It's like, yeah, because they can't even apply for Five Below yet, you know. But I guess the fascinating part of me is, what is the, is it because I honestly don't believe, I mean, look, there are creeps out there who like physically whatever a 14-year, 15-year-old boy or girl looks like. There's something about it they like. There are those. But is it more of they generally feel that adults, women or men of their age, you know, or even, you know, if you're like 35, like you don't even think you could, you are so incompetent, you're so undesirable that your prime has passed or whatever they want to call it. You have none to show. And so someone who's like 23 can't even look at you with a certain, you know, admiration. So you got to go to where the most naive are, because your biggest kryptonite is the fact that you can't hide behind potential anymore and you got to accept reality. And so, you know, it's just, but there are a lot of women out here, and you know, there's this weird thing with teachers. Teachers love their male students, you know, and it's, they're always married. Like, I don't know, like, look, it's one thing to be, you know, cheated on. If I got cheated on by my wife with a 14-year-old, I mean, I might just kill myself. Like, that's a whole different type of love, you know? But it's like, damn, like, must have been selling some good hot Cheeto snacks. By the way, you can make some real bank selling some hot Cheetos. I don't know what it is with the kids and hot Cheetos and this lime juice they be putting in the bag, but it's a thing. And it's like selling gum back in the day, or candy. Used to be the things, eh? Good things, eh? But speaking of good things, so the Egyptians. So, look, it's the everlasting theory, or hypothesis, I guess you want to call it, or, yeah, I guess theory, that it wasn't, there's some crazy facts about the pyramids and stuff, right? One, the way they're built and designed, these blocks are like 2.5 tons, there's no way that human being could have made these, right, in the short amount of time frame it, quote unquote, was made. So they're saying there had to be a lot of assistance from, you know, the aliens. It is weird how all the pyramids, apparently there's some theories that the pyramids are all aligned along the equator, quote unquote, because of power reasons, you know. Literally it provides solar power. That's where the most dense power is on the earth. And it's a location where the aliens can drop at any moment. Provide solar energy in case any crisis were to happen, just whatever. And then there's some theories that maybe people back in those days, they were like, you know, 8 feet tall, mega humans. Basically, everyone just looked like the Undertaker, I guess. No pun intended. Who needs the kinks when you got the Sphinx? Yep. Anyways, those pyramids would be great to hide some drugs, though. Is that why the food pyramid was made? You know, they call it the food pyramid because, you know, you classify how much of this you should eat, blah, blah, blah. And maybe the food pyramid is really just representation of what the people that made the pyramids would eat. I don't know. Even though in that type of desert land, well, apparently it used to be a lot of water. Because basically whatever used to be cold now used to be hot 10,000 years ago and vice versa. Like, so I don't know, you know. But yeah, no. So apparently they're all lined up. The amount of meters or feet or yards, the pyramid, the floor of the pyramid is exactly like 365 point some meters or yards or feet around. And to line up with how many days there are in a year calendar wise, it's just crazy how precise everything is. But you know what? Honestly, who gives a fuck? Like, does it really matter how a fucking pyramid is made? It's a pyramid scheme. It's literally, like, it's by definition, a pyramid scheme. People always want to talk about these pyramid schemes of any type of timeshares or these finances, crypto. It's all anytime you're being sold something. Well, the word pyramid scheme, I guess, maybe has come from the pyramids because it's a scheme of how it all actually all came together. You know? I don't think it was actually built 10,000, 20,000 years ago. I think it was probably built like 150, 200 years ago. But they just kind of rewrote history. And they made all the stuff look like it. Maybe. But I'm probably ignorant. I don't know. Hot diggity dog. You know, it's like the Russians said during Hitler's reign. Who goes there? Is that Horton who hears a who? Or is your elephant just on meth? 'Cause he was on some type of amphetamines, which sounds pretty good right now. You know, I think it would be fun just to have a day where everyone walks around and make every drug just available and legal for a day. Because you know what? People's fascination with drugs is like, you know what? Go ahead. Make it all legal. So all these people that are obsessed with doing this shit, let them go ahead. And they will start doing the most dumb, abrasive shit all in one day. And then they'll end up killing themselves because of it. And you know what? We could get rid of all the people that just want to do some crazy ass shit. And what happens is when you give someone an inch, you give them a mile, and then, you know, the funeral business will be thriving. It's kind of weird. The three things that profit the most in this country or in this world involve typically people's lives, you know, being born or alive. We got the medical business. Oh, baby, you were born, and then we're going to give you all these medicines over 30 and 40 years. Your whole DNA is going to be fucked up. Your ribosome. All these things. We're going to put all the shit in your body. Life's going to tear you down, and then you'll be dead. And then we're going to charge you $30,000 for a birth, $40,000 from when you die. Your funeral right out of the ass. So basically, just to be born and to die, it's going to cost you like $70,000 off rip. So basically, you're born into this world like $70,000 in debt. When you really think about it. Now, look, you have a long time to pay that off. But hey, every life costs something. And you know what? And so honestly, paying for an abortion isn't that bad of a deal. Are you just saying that sounds bad? But when you think about it, you know, it's a good financial plan. Jesus, I'm just kidding. I don't vouch for that. But, you know, if everything about your life is just about your financial well-being, then by all means, kill the kids before they're born. You know, they don't count anyways. So they say, yep. That's how, don't kill kids, by the way. That's how, it came out so wrong. But you know what? All kids come out wrong. So, all kids don't even, most kids come out. Get it? Because they're gay. all the kids are, honey, I shrunk the kids. Be like, honey, our kids are gay. Nothing wrong with that, you know? But yeah. Whew. Ooh, God damn it, it's hot in here. Woohoo. But hey, you know what? You know what's weird? We shame guys for having titties. But yet, we want guys to like titties. You know? You know, if my son had tits, I'd just be like, hey, that's what he likes. Nothing wrong with that. You know, it's weird how it's like, oh man, we desire something that turns us on. But why wait for someone else or something else to turn you on when you can have it yourself to turn yourself on? So if you're a guy, don't be, you know, don't listen to fitness YouTube talking about if you have man titties, if you got little boobs, there's something wrong with you. Because you know what? They're the same ones that are looking for titties to suck. So you know what? You just suck your own titty. I think it's a good plan. You save money. You save time. You save a potential pregnancy. It's a win-win. it's okay just to suck your own titty. You know, you got to work hard. Whether it's a nice lump or if it's a nice, you know, grapefruit potato looking one, it's all good, you know. But yeah, we're always being shamed for something. We don't have this, we don't have that. Say, like, hey, you know what, I may not have everything, but I do have something, and you do too. It's some big old titties, baby. Only one's useful for production, and the other will just, you know, probably shorten your lifespan. typically indicator, you know. It's just loose skin. Yes, I got a loose skin in the game. So, yeah. Yeah, you know. We got the meats. It's funny how the Diddy thing has died down. But, has it? Jesus, sound like someone's smacking sandals. Well, it's probably not sandals, if you get my drift. Sounds like, you know, you got too much sand in your shoe, so you go outside and you just start hitting your shoes together, and then a bee starts stinging your neck, and then you're like, ah, then your neck swells up, and people are like, man, you've been hitting your traps, haven't you? Well, I'm glad you've seen. It really is just because a bumblebee stung your neck, and you have very sensitive skin, and you don't get enough chloroform or magnesium, so it really just swells up more than it should because you have very sensitive reactions to dial it. But you know what? They say when a bee stings you, they die. But then how come they're still fucking around? Like, because, you know, if that was true, right? When an animal kills something, it dies. What if, like, a person, they kill one person and they died? Like, however God made us, you know? Apparently, one of the few, like, they made bees. They're like, you know, you guys are just gonna, because if God made so many bees that he's like, I gotta make some of y'all die. Like, you guys kill things, you have to die, you know? So it's really, or once they sting you, because they can sting you and you not die, but you get the drift. Or is it wasps that do that? I don't know. But it's like if a bee stings you and they release their venom or whatever the fuck, they die. Like, that's how much God's just like, fuck you bees, you know? Which is weird. Maybe that's why Beyonce calls her the beehive or the bayhive. Because, you know, once she touches you with her music, you die inside. Kind of like her satanic soul. I'm kidding. I think. I don't know if she does. But hey, there's actually theories about Beyonce and Jay-Z that she is not even, that she was brainwashed or she was drugged. Like, this is a real theory out there. That she was kind of drugged, or she was not drugged, but like hallucinated or hypnotized over time with either medicines, or she was basically numbed. They basically numbed her mind so much with either substances or just whatever over time that she kind of molded. It was kind of like an inside job from either her family or her management to be with Jay-Z in a way to kind of create that power couple that maybe they may naturally or not have met, but Jay-Z may have infiltrated a way to, you know, put her in a state of mind where she was never really present enough to know what she's in, if that makes sense. I gotta be careful, because that's a very touchy situation. Do I think it's true? No. But, you know, there's always theories about this stuff. And a lot of these theories, there seems to be a lot of truth to it. I think that one's a bit of a stretch. I think it's pretty much as simple as like, hey, he's at the top of his game. When they met, she was branching out. It was kind of like a match made in, timing is everything. They met exactly the right time. And, you know, now she got me looking so crazy right now. well, maybe that's Jay-Z. Was she talking about say my name when no one is around you? Say baby, I love you. I don't know. But she's a survivor, all right. All right. But yeah. For the Swifties, that's weird when you think about what Drake said about Kendrick. He's like, yeah, like, you are literally, you know, You know, I'll tell you what line stuck out for me from that diss track. And it seems like a throwaway. It seems like nothing that serious. But he said, when it comes to like Kendrick and even J. Cole, he said, I can't remember the exact line, but it's basically some along the lines of like, hey, you guys got fame and you chose to escape it. Meaning like, they got the money and fame, and they want to present this like they hate the fame. They don't live the quote-unquote lifestyle of a famous rapper or just a famous person in general with money. And Drake has even said on his earliest stuff from the Take Care that nothing was the same. He blew up. He got fame, and he chose to embrace it. And what he's basically saying here is like, you guys got fame. You got everything that this world gives you, and you guys want to present this BS image that you're this home, not home, but that you're just this everyday normal person and stuff like that. Like, it's almost, and what I'm reading between is like, you guys want to pretend like everyone else, but you don't really look at yourself like everyone else, but you try to have the best of both worlds of being this humble person. And Drake's like, nah, fuck that shit. You guys got fame and you want to run away from it. I think that's what he said. And one thing I will always appreciate about Drake, and one thing I will always appreciate someone that's like, you know what? Nah, I'm not like you. He took Rick Ross's girl, you know? What are you going to do? He made a man. He brought his girl to the studio like, hey, man, go get us some wings. Hey, go pick us some Wingstop. This dude could have had a chauffeur, could have had any of his assistants pick up Wingstop for him. He's like, yeah, you know what? Can you go get us some wings? And then he wrote the Lemon Pepper Freestyle. So, you know what? It's just that line stuck out because it does kind of bother me when I just hate being sold when someone is going over the top to try to be this more introspective, to try to be this like, I'm just like you, normal person. You know, it comes off weird that, for one, you're acknowledging that you're in an elevated position, but you're trying so hard to explain to us how you want to be a sympathetic figure while you're talking to people who are paying to see you concerts-wise, paying for your music, paying for your merch and stuff like that. But you're selling that you're just like them, but you're not, because they're paying for you. And it's this weird thing where it's become more of a new trendy thing. Like, the cool thing back in the day was, or even is, to be all over, like, be a celebrity, have an interest in life, you know, be seen with a bunch of different women or dating around all. And now the trendy thing is to actually portray an image that you are not out there doing anything, that you are just at home, you're married, you put out music once every 4 years. You're not engaging with your audience. You're actually like, nope, I'm going to this cabin and disappear for months, which is fine. But I just hate when it's like you're actually trying over the top by your presentation, and it doesn't really seem genuine that's really like how you get down. And Drake's like, nah, like, I go to islands, I do music videos, I drop an album every year or two, whether people want it or not, they're going to get the music that Drake actually listens to, weirdly enough, Drake actually makes music for what people expect of him, for better or worse, whether people like, and other artists are just like, I'm just going to do what I want, and that's great and all, and there's a place for that, but Drake actually lives the life that he says he lives, for better or worse. You know, he doesn't try to be holier than thou. He'll speak for a woman, which all of us meant love when We listen to artists that speak for the woman's side. So we be like, yeah, you goddamn right. Dumbass bitches. he said it, not me. All right. But you know what? He speaks like, because you know what? That's actually way he lives. That's like, hey, this is how I view these things. And all these other rappers like, no, like, you know, it's all about being humble. It's all about, you know, never losing yourself in the process. It's like, okay, buddy, whatever the fuck you want to say. Drake's like, nah, fuck all of y'all. I think we just appreciate genuineness. It's not about whether you live a great, ideal life. It's not about whether you live the right life. It's just like, hey, just don't sell me something that you're trying, where it sounds like you have to try harder to sell something than just live in it. And I think that's the thing that kind of, Drake is starting to expose these people. Expose of people. He's like, look, you always say what you want. I've never tried to hide from the fact that I like being a fucking billionaire with my own private plane. I don't really try to hide it. He talks about money. He talks about buying your bitch Chanel, you know. Doing all these things, you know. And sending her OVO backstage passes. this man's like, hey, Rick Ross, thanks for your features, but your baby mom's coming to OVO. So that's just how it be, though, you know. But it's, you know, people love these rap beefs and stuff. People love when artists beef with each other, but really only in rap music, only in hip hop, and I guess R&B to an extent, you know. People really don't care to see, we don't really be seeing diss tracks of country artists or of rock artists. Like, to that extent. Like, there may be like, oh, we don't listen to that hit, to that new country music around here. We don't listen to them snap track country music around. We listen to good old George Jones. And we listen to good old Toby Keith, rest in peace. We listen to the good old days of Trace Adkins, where they all sounded the same. We don't listen to that gay Blake Shelton, to that Jordan Davis, you know? We listen to the real. You'll get stuff like that. But, you know, we don't listen to that gay Luke Combs, you know. But there's not anyone dropping a full, like, you know, a full Sam Hunt ruined country music diss track. You know, they may talk about how country music has changed. Rock music may talk about how, you know, Saul Hinton's like, no one makes real music anymore. But it doesn't get specific talking about your life, you know? Even with Zach Brown, when he went through his whole, like, no one was making diss tracks about Zach Brown, you know? It was just like, hey, like, this is kind of weird, bro. Like, okay. Only in, like, rap music, we have this obsession with beefs. And potentially it become fatal depending on the background of the individuals. Situations with each other, you know. Only then do we actually, like, people as audience, man, it's almost like we want just honestly, rap beefs shouldn't make the genre more interesting, but all it does is it opens the floodgates for casual fans' negativity towards rappers. And since they know it sells, it'll be like, hey, man, like, music's kind of dried up, it's kind of slow. You know what? I got this issue with this rap I don't really like. Let me just drop some hints and start some shit, you know? And I don't know. It's an interesting thing because obviously it is interesting. We are waiting to see how Kendrick will respond, if he responds, how these other artists will respond to it. It does make where it's like, oh, there's something actively engaging. It's active engagement. Like, it's not just this. Because I think what we like about it, if I'm just coming up with this theory, compared to just like music, you write lyrics to and you put a nice bridge and melody and all, like, you're worried about the placement, you're worried about the sound of it. Where you're worried about art, you're worried about articulating a sound or a point of view that can sometimes be overthought. I think the things with diss tracks that we like, it's back to the basics of just fucking rapping. It's just back to the basics of the origin of what music's really supposed to be, with which is, what are you saying, you know? And there's a real authentic point. You can feel the vitriol behind it. It's not someone trying to be clever. It's not someone trying to be loving. It's not. It's just someone like, this is what the fuck I think. I'm going to put in a simple, they put simple beats, which makes it more profound. It sounds good. It's just a simple beat that is just designed to let you get your shit off. And you know what, sometimes we just like simple shit. I don't need these 7-minute songs of orchestrating a beautiful, you know? I don't care about your drawn out choruses. I don't care about your ad-libs of Future. I don't care about how cool these drums on these beats sounds. Like, I don't give a fuck. I care about, when it comes to a lot of these songs, I just care about, what the fuck are you talking about? And you can feel the genuine, like, you feel that hunger in rap beefs. Because it's almost like sometimes you become too successful. You have too much good. Everyone's like, you know, sucking your dick all the time. And you put out these diss tracks and you feel that old, it's almost like you're catching that old vibe again, that hunger. Because it's like someone poked, you know, they poked the bear in a way. And it's like, oh, so like, why everyone's like, oh yeah, we're cool, we're doing music videos together, we're bringing J. Cole on stage. And then he says, I haven't told J. Cole that K-Dot shit was weak. Like, it's like, he was literally on tour with him like months ago saying, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. It's like, yep, that shit was weak. It's like, this is what they really, like, this is what, diss tracks are really an insight of how real friends are with each other. Real friends, they will be friendly, they'll like each other, but all you have to do, have a little strife, and they will tell everyone around, they will tell you, and that's when you'll really get of what people really think about you, how much they dislike certain things about you, what they hate about, what they really think about how you carry, so what they really think about who you are. And that's what diss tracks are. They, it's like everything's like cool until, you know, you start talking about people's wives, you start saying people have a size 7 shoe. Now all of a sudden, everyone gets up in arms and they have diss tracks that they wrote months ago ready to drop on you. So that's how the shit works, right? So I don't know, you know? It just exposed that no one is safe out here. But yeah, they want to stop there because I'm dehydrated. But yeah, all right, guys. That was episode 275 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most important ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties unaccompanied. Unless you like being watched, you know. How much would it take, like, if someone paid me to just sit, like, do I have a price? And they're like, just stand in the corner. You will not be touched. You don't have to do anything. You just have to watch what me and this person do to each other. What would be the price? That would be like, eh, you know, some stuff's got to be paid, you know. everyone is like, would it be like $4,000 just to sit and watch someone for 20 minutes? And be like, ugh, that's a weird crack you got there, buddy. I don't know. Does it make you, it's like, it is guaranteed, you just sit in the corner, like 15 feet away, and you watch two people fuck. I don't know. It's like you don't participate. They don't touch you. You're not incorporated. You just watch. What is the price? I don't know. I'll be like, honey, I'm doing this for us. It's like, yeah. It's like, well, Zared, I mean, probably going to watch it somewhere anyways. So, you know, might as well just see the thing. I don't know how to feel about that. I would not want to sit there and watch two people, you know, go ham on each other. I don't know. Like, would it be weirder if you're watching two people do that and it's explosively like crazy? Or watching two people where it's very unenthusiastic what's taking place? Like, neither of them are really into it, or it's like it's weird because you tell one person's into it more than another. A person's like half asleep texting on their phone, like that's almost weird. I'd rather just watch two people be into it than watching two people that are like not really doing much, but they're there. It's like two soul, like that's more awkward, you know. So yeah, that was a weird way to end the show. But yeah, what would be your price? Well, if the price is right, I'll host the show. Ooh, damn. Farting like crazy. There it is. All right, guys. Have a great day, morning, and evening. I would say about $4,000.